feel this. Fred has been lamenting over the past week here for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. He thinks there was some sort of mix-up that his invitation to the wedding got lost in the mail.
Is that right?
That's what he thinks, yeah. So you might want to square that away when you talk to Fred next time.
I'll talk to him. Thanks for passing that along.
He was very upset, and I said, hey, I didn't even go to the wedding, and I still got some cake. So Fred got nothing.
There's some cake available. Anyways, thank you for passing that along, Kevin. Fantasy Lowdown here for the next hour. We want to hear from you. That's what we want to do every week. We want to hear from you. Webradio@patriots.com. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. We want to know your questions on who to start, who to sit. We have a bunch of emails already in, and we're going to get to them. Now, just a general observation on this week, leading from week 7 on to week 8, a lot of running back questions, a lot of running back injuries last week, a lot of running back flux around the league, making it quite a challenge for this week setting your lineups because, you know, even you look at a guy like Tim Hightower out for the year, so that's an easy one. If you have Tim Hightower, you cut him, but it's not like there's an easy answer to the question of, well, who definitively replaces him in Washington. It's not like Hightower week to week has been the answer in Washington. You got Ryan Terrain, you got Roy Helu, you got Beanie Wells. Is he out? Is he not out? Does Alphonso Smith make a good play, but it's against Baltimore?
Doubtful.
You know, you got Indianapolis with Joseph Addai probably out and DeLone Carter. You got many of those. So we definitely want to help you out. I have some thoughts on some of these guys as well, and we want to hear any questions you have along those lines. So I feel like quarterback is pretty straightforward this week. There's a lot of must-starts. I got a couple of guys, you know, in mind that are pretty good bye-week fill-ins, like Matt Hasselbeck. I think Matt Hasselbeck is a great, tremendous start for this week against Indianapolis. There's no better medicine for a recovery from a bad start than facing the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Just ask Drew Brees about that. And Matt Hasselbeck coming off a dreadful game last week, all the Titans did against Houston. They go up against Indianapolis, so that makes for a great start. So a lot of activity in fantasy this week. 6 more teams on a bye week: Atlanta, Chicago, Green Bay, Oakland, the New York Jets, and Tampa Bay. So make sure you have those players from those teams.
Thankfully for Oakland, too, they have that bye week with McFadden getting nicked up last
week. Yeah, McFadden getting nicked up.
That was a huge running back injury.
Yeah, that certainly was. And he, you know, he gets hurt early in the game and really doesn't have much going for him in that game. And obviously for Oakland, too, Carson Palmer, where does Carson Palmer stand as far as that team goes, and you know, what's the deal with him? Is a bye week going to fix the problems that offense had? Is Carson Palmer able to make it work? I was saying last week that I just don't see it from a 2011 fantasy perspective. You just don't know where Carson Palmer is at as far as his ability to play competitive football right now. It's been a while. And joining a new team, new receivers and all that, I'm not stunned that he jumped in and had 3 interceptions in half of the game last week against Kansas City. And I'm not convinced that he's going to do much when they come off their bye. They host Denver next week. And, you know, I think it's worth, you know, picking up Carson Palmer and having him as your second or maybe third quarterback just in case he does pan out and maybe you can get some trade value for him. But, you know, I don't necessarily see it happening this year for Carson Palmer. So as of right now, Kevin, I got to be honest, my computer is freezing here, so I may need you to be the guy that reads the emails. But I do have one of them up here, and I think we'll start right out with some emails here. This is from Brian at UNH. Got a fantasy football question for you. Matt Forte being on the bye is making things tough. I got to fill both a receiver spot and a flex spot in my point per reception league. Here are the choices: Percy Harvin, Nate Washington, Joseph Addai, DeLone Carter, and Early Doucette. I've been debating this all week and can't figure it out, so some help would be appreciated. Okay, first for the receiver spot, we'll just narrow it down to Harvin, Washington, and Early Doucette. I've got to go with Nate Washington.
Okay,
I think the Tennessee passing game is going to have a big outing. I mentioned Hasselbeck, and I think Nate Washington is primed for maybe his best week of the year. I've been an Early Doucette supporter this year.
That's a tough matchup this week for them, though, going against the Ravens, I believe.
For who?
The Cardinals are playing the Ravens.
Yeah, the Cardinals are playing the Ravens. I've been an Early Doucette fan this year.
Yeah.
He's had some games with a lot of targets. I just don't think he'd be above Nate Washington or Percy Harvin to me. Harvin has had, you know, his injury woes, and he's not sure what exactly his status is going to be for this week, but I wouldn't put him ahead of Nate Washington in this sense, just because of the risk factor there. Now, that flex spot with a point per reception league. I wouldn't touch Joseph Addai. Certainly, he's probably not going to play. And I wouldn't touch Delone Carter for a flex spot and a point per reception. I'm not disregarding Delone Carter overall. I think depending on who else you have at running back, he could be a reasonable option. But I'm probably going to put Early Doucette in that PPR spot,
really?
In that flex spot. I am. I think he's going to get some targets. I think Arizona is going to be throwing the ball a lot because I don't see them necessarily keeping pace with Baltimore. I think they'll be throwing the ball early, throwing the ball often against Baltimore, especially if Beanie Wells is out. So, Brian, in this case right here, I'm going with Nate Washington and Early Doucette trying to solve those issues you have there with Joseph Addai. I'm sorry, with Matt Forte being on a bye week. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Those are the these are the problems we get into during the bye weeks without having, stud running backs like that available. That's definitely a problem. What else we got there, Kevin, in the emails?
We got one from Mike here. And this is a long list here. Hey, B-Lo, first off, congrats on the marriage. So he wanted to get that out
well,
of the way.
Well, thank you.
The fact that you found someone to marry you must mean she's an amazing woman. Just kidding.
She is an amazing woman. Kid or not kid, she is an amazing woman. I'm very lucky, but I like to think she is too. So put it that way.
On to the important stuff. I have a few guys on bye this week, and my team is a little suspect. I need help picking two guys to fill out my roster for the week. It's a 10-team point-per-reception league. So his lineup looks like this. He's got Matt Stafford as his quarterback, Wes Welker, Calvin Johnson, DeSean Jackson as his receivers. That's a pretty solid.
Very solid. Three of the top, you know, eight or ten.
LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray slated in as his running backs. Again, pretty solid.
Boy, heavy on that Philly-Dallas game this week.
His flex spot at the moment is Daniel Thomas, his tight end, Aaron Hernandez, his kicker, John Casey, with the Saints defense. His bench possibilities, so guys that he could sub in here, are Reggie Bush, Bernard Scott, and everyone else is on a bye, it looks like.
Well, you know, that's what happens. I mean, you know, there's definitely weeks like that. All right, well, first of all, there's no changes that need to be made with the exception of the Daniel Thomas spot. And, you know, I'd probably put Bernard Scott in there, and this is the week to do it. You know, they're playing Seattle. Cedric Benson is suspended. I wouldn't touch those Miami running backs, Daniel Thomas and Reggie Bush, going against the Giants, but I think Bernard Scott is your guy. So that would be the only change I'd make. I mean, Matthew Stafford looks like he's going to play. He worked with the first team offense, reportedly in Thursday's practice. He's expected to start. There has been some question on that. So, you know, if he doesn't have a backup quarterback, what I would do is
his backup quarterback is Carson Palmer.
Well, I would maybe get a backup quarterback just in case he finds out. And that Detroit-Denver game is 4 o'clock.
Yep.
It could be a tough one. What I would do is find a quarterback, maybe even Matt Hasselbeck if he's available. Find a quarterback who plays either at 4 o'clock or Sunday night or Monday night that he could have in reserve right now if that guy is available in case Matthew Stafford is inactive. He definitely has to brace himself for that. It looks like Stafford will play.
Yeah.
If Stafford's active, you start him, no questions asked. But if 2:30 comes around and Matthew Stafford is benched, you know, he's got too good of a team to risk having no quarterback available. So try to find a backup quarterback. And then, like I said, I'd put Bernard Scott in there in place of Daniel Thomas as of right now. That's what I would do.
And you got to think, given the culture of losing that's been around the Detroit Lions, you know, the fact that they get off to a 5-0 start, they've lost the last two. There's got to be some urgency right there trying to stop this skid here and turn things around.
Yeah.
So you got to think that Matthew Stafford's probably going to play.
Yeah, I've got to think so. You know, they're not going to do anything stupid, but yeah, I'd have to think he's going to play.
You want to go into another email?
I do want to go into another email because I'm having troubles here on my own.
All right. This one is from Dan. Hi, okay. A quick comment, then some questions. First, I had DeMarco Murray, then I cut him Saturday for Tolbert, 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. So he was up pretty early. I woke from a dream where he got 30
or
points.
Late.
I woke from a dream where he got 30 points, so I tried to get him back, but he was unavailable till next week. I got him back now, so that was his story.
Well, that's a risk. No one thought DeMarco Murray was going to run for 250 yards and a 90-something yard touchdown, and he's not going to do that again. But he was certainly worth having on your roster last week.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. Cutting him before last week's game was ill-advised.
So his first question here, he's got four guys for two wide receiver spots and a flex. Who should he pick? So it looks like he needs three out of these four. He's got DeMarco Murray, Vincent Jackson, A.J. Green, and Jeremy Maclin. So he needs 3 out of 4.
Wow. DeMarco Murray, Vincent Jackson, A.J. Green, and Jeremy Maclin. You know, my first instinct, I think, is you sit Vincent Jackson, but that is, you know, that's really, you know,
Now, why do you say that? Just because he's kind of off to a slow start.
He's off
here?
To a very slow start. Actually, other I shouldn't say he's off to a slow start.
Other than when he plays the Patriots.
His first 2 weeks, I think, were good, and then he's been off to a very slow start. And Philip Rivers just is not the same guy this year as he had been in previous years, to be perfectly honest. And you know, I think A.J. Green against Seattle, I think that's a great matchup. I think Andy Dalton has some good matchups. I think that's partly why he's looking so good. Some of the matchups have been there for Cincinnati, but he and A.J. Green are developing something. I wouldn't want to sit him. I mean, listen, I don't know that I'd want to sit any of these guys. To be honest, DeMarco Murray might be the guy you sit among these.
Interesting.
Because those are three wide receivers that you don't want to have on your bench. I mean, you look at any rankings, and they're going to be three of the top 12, probably, at least top 15 wide receivers this week. And DeMarco Murray, you know, is probably, I think there's a good chance, you see this a lot, a guy jumps out to a breakout game, just a career best game, there could be a letdown factor.
Okay.
And I don't have the vibe of the Dallas locker room right now. I don't know anything about DeMarco Murray.
Are they going into Philly on, I think that's a Sunday night game.
Yeah, that game is in Philly. Okay. That game is in Philly.
And they're going to be playing against a desperate, desperate Philadelphia
team. A desperate team. Although,
that might be a bad spot for Dallas.
It might be a bad spot for Dallas. You know, I think I'm going to go with all three wideouts.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I think it's the way to do it. DeMarco Murray had a great game. He hasn't proven that he's a week in, week out running back. He's going to get the carries for them. There's no doubt about that, and they've been running the ball a lot. But I think Green and Maclin for sure, and I might be in the minority in putting those two ahead of Vincent Jackson. But Vincent Jackson, you know, he's a must start unless you have two other bona fide wide receivers. So I'd probably sit Murray.
And his last question here, B-Lo, from Dan, is he needs a defense for this week. He's asking you to pick one of these four.
Okay.
The Texans, who are playing the Jaguars, the Titans, who are facing off against the Colts, the Bengals, who are taking on the Seahawks, or the Eagles, who host Dallas on Sunday night.
I'd go Cincinnati. Really? I'd go Cincinnati. I think so little of Seattle. And
what about Tennessee against that awful Colts?
Yeah. No, I think
one of those two. Or
I think
and you would lean toward the Bengals.
It would be one of those two, but okay. I'd lean toward the Bengals. I mean, you know, Tennessee did just give up. They had a terrible game, and Indianapolis doesn't scare me at all.
Nope.
But I think Seattle is just as bad. They're you know, Charlie Whitehurst and Justin Forsett might be the quarterback running back pairing for Seattle.
Yeah, I think
he
could go with any of the first three because
I wouldn't think much of
Jacksonville either.
I certainly wouldn't do
Philly. Philly's the only one that I would kind of stay away from.
I don't think much of Jacksonville and Maurice Jones-Drew did fumble the ball three times the other night.
Jacksonville, the Colts, and the Seahawks are three bad teams.
Right, so. But Maurice Jones-Drew is far and away the best player combined on those three teams. You know,
that's a good way
of the guys that.
Yeah.
Of the
guys
opponents
that could hurt you.
Of the opponents that Houston, Tennessee, and Cincinnati have this week, Maurice Jones-Drew is far and away the most explosive player who could potentially ruin the week when you're looking at these three possible defenses. I think Cincinnati's defense is the best of this bunch right here.
Okay.
Anyways, and they're playing Seattle, which is a miserable offensive team, I think. And Charlie Whitehurst, Justin Forsett. They had a terrible rushing performance last week when Marshawn Lynch went down. That's another one, talking about all the running back flux for this week. They had a terrible outing without Marshawn Lynch. So give me Cincy among those. But it's a good position to be in because if you're playing the matchup game as far as defenses, you've got a few candidates there.
Yeah, so that was Higgs and Hopkinton. Thanks for writing in.
Higgs.
Got the lowdown. We next move on to Peter, who says, okay, here's my starting lineup, and he's going to give us his lineup here. He's got Joe Flacco at quarterback, LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray at running back. Sounds very similar to the last guy. Running back, wide receiver, flex spot, he has Brandon Lloyd. For his wide receivers, he has Miles Austin and Calvin Johnson. His tight end is Fred Davis. He has the Saints defense, and he has Jason Hansen as his kicker. His question for you, B-Lo, is what do you think I need to try and get rid of through trade, and who is a good trade target or someone I should go after?
Well, someone to go after. I mean, that, you know, a lot of that depends on the makeup of the league and everything like that.
I would say he probably needs another running back.
I don't know that you count on DeMarco Murray right now.
And he has Lloyd as his flex spot, and generally you'd like to upgrade. I think you could upgrade that.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing about Brandon Lloyd. He stepped in with St. Louis last week and had the most targets on that team.
Okay.
And I think he's going to be just fine. I really do. He had 12 targets and 6 catches. So you'd like a little more production out of those. But, you know, it is A.J. Feely throwing the ball there. You hope if Bradford gets back in there that he'd be, you know, he'd help Brandon Lloyd. I like Lloyd. I like Lloyd as a flex guy. I don't know if I'd want him as a one or two starter every week, but I like Lloyd. And, you know, they're playing New Orleans this week. You figure they're going to be throwing the ball quite a bit, St. Louis. You figure they're going to be down, and they're going to, you know, be throwing the ball. I like Lloyd there. I think Flacco is the big area to upgrade. I would say that Lloyd is a good trade target. I'd say Miles Austin is a good trade piece as well. If he can get a better quarterback, maybe not an elite quarterback, you might not have enough ammunition to get a Breeze or a Rodgers or a Brady. But if you can get someone in the next group, you know, maybe a Stafford or a Fitzpatrick right now, you know, I would do that. And if he's looking for someone, now the other question, if you have his full team,
yep.
Does he have another quarterback on his roster? And Flacco is a bye week guy. I actually think Flacco might be.
He didn't give me his bench, guys.
Flacco might be able to bounce back this week against Arizona. But if he's looking for a 1 week option, I'm high on Matt Hasselbeck. I think that could be a great pickup for him if he's able to trade for Hasselbeck.
What are your thoughts on Fred Davis, Bilo?
Like Fred Davis a lot.
Yeah.
I like Fred Davis a lot. I think the combination of John Beck at quarterback, Santana
Safety
Moss
blanket.
Out for a long time, Chris Cooley out for a long time, Fred Davis, up and coming tight end, a guy that you're gonna he's pretty much, you know, you gotta consider him a top 10 tight end. I think probably most weeks, because I think, you know, just enough ducks are in a row there in that offense the way things are going right now for him to be a prime target in that offense, and I think he's a fine fantasy play. No question about that.
Well, we have another email fresh in the web radio inbox, and just a reminder, you can get a hold of us here at webradiopatriots.com, or you can give us a shout on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And we have JC writing in, who is in a little bit of a predicament this week here.
That's what we're here for, to help solve predicaments.
He says, B-Lo, I'm screwed this week.
Whew.
Hillis is a baby and probably won't play, and Beanie Wells may also not play. My replacement is either Jackie Battle or Anquan Boldin. What do you think?
Battle or Boldin? And
has a nice ring to it.
Who is it? Hillis? Hillis and who?
Beanie Wells.
Hillis and Beanie Wells. Yeah, I'd be pessimistic about both guys. Jackie Battle is your guy. He's the guy for Kansas City right now. You know, and the San Diego matchup, I wouldn't be too caught up in not being able to run against San Diego, you know, despite some of the stats. But yeah, Jackie Battle's the guy. I Peyton Hillis, stay away from this week. Montario Hardesty is an interesting case because he had 33 carries last week, but still couldn't crack 100 yards.
They're
he had 95
them.
Yards. They were feeding the ball to him, and I expect to see them do the same. You know, I think they're going to run Hardesty. You just don't, you know. If a guy's going to get 33 carries, then you got to play him. I mean, that's a lot of times that the ball is in that guy's hands and opportunity to make a play. It wasn't a huge performance for him last week, but Montario Hardesty is worth keeping an eye on. But Jackie Battle, you know, I'm not overly impressed, but I think that offense is starting to turn the corner a little bit, and I'd feel good about Jackie Battle. More so than Boldin, because Flacco has really looked terrible these last couple weeks.
Is it fair to say that Boldin has pretty much been a disappointment or a flop at this point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been. Listen, he's not as big a disappointment as Lee Evans has been. But Boldin, yeah, I mean, Boldin's been a disappointment. I mean, I had a lot higher hopes for the rest of that offense, more so than just Ray Rice. Obviously, Ray Rice is a stud and a must start. I thought Joe Flacco would have a better season right now. You know, Bolden's had his moments, only 2 touchdowns, week one, and then in this past game, he had a couple of very shaky weeks. But yeah, there's probably bigger disappointments in the league. Chris Johnson comes to mind, obviously. But Bolden's been okay. I mean, he's startable. He's startable in fantasy. I would say that, but I don't know about this week.
The emails continue to roll in here at webradiopatriots.com. We have one from our own favorite webmaster, Chris Ferreira.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. All I'm saying is, let me think about it a little bit.
Okay.
You throw that on us, our favorite webmaster. He's fine, but
right, favorite webmaster.
Let me think about that. All right, you know what? He's up there. He's up there.
He says, B-Low, I'm somewhat lacking at wide receiver, so I've been flexing with an extra tight end. One of those leagues.
Flexing? I like
he's
it.
He's flexing his tight end.
Great year. Great year. Great year to have tight ends available
for
a flex
spot. The year of the tight end. Forget the year of the quarterback.
You can fill in with tight ends pretty easily.
So here we go. He has three options here that we need to pick two out of, and some pretty good options here, B-Low. He has Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, and Antonio Gates, and he needs two of them for this weekend.
Well, he needs two of them. I think Gronk
some pretty
for sure.
good options.
I think Gronk for sure. They found a way to absolutely exploit mismatches with him last year against Pittsburgh. It was his biggest game of the year. You know, I think Gronk, this is going to be another big game for Gronk. I think he's going to have at least one touchdown. But I think Hernandez, I think this is the breakout game potentially for Hernandez too. He scored against Dallas, but, or was it the Jets? I forget one of those games, but I think this is the week where he might have a breakout performance. Gates, just not feeling great about Gates. I'm not feeling great about Gates. I'd say you probably do start Gates and Gronk.
That's what I would go with.
You probably do because it is Antonio Gates.
It's not a bad duo.
And there's something about starting two tight ends from the same team, even though Gronk and Hernandez, this is unusual because Hernandez is sort of a wide receiver as well. So I guess it would be hard to sit Gates. I'd probably go Gronk and Gates, but I'd feel very good about going to Hernandez as well.
He also has a follow-up question here. He says, also for wide receivers, I'm going with Brandon Marshall and Mike Sims-Walker.
Mm.
But do you think any of these bench players are better options? And he has Braylon Edwards or Malcolm Floyd. So would you sub those for Marshall or Walker?
Certainly not Edwards because I think Edwards is I think Edwards is going to be out this week. I think Edwards is going to be out this week. It doesn't look great. I wouldn't feel comfortable with Braylon Edwards. I actually have a sneaky suspicion that Mike Sims-Walker is going to be just fine.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd bench either one of those guys with these options. Not overwhelming options here all the way around. Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall going against the Giants. Not great.
Nobody throwing him the ball.
It was Edwards and who?
It was Braylon Edwards and Malcolm Floyd.
Malcolm Floyd.
One bright side to Brandon Marshall though is he is still getting a decent amount of targets.
A lot of targets on that team. I would say stick with those guys.
I would
stick with those guys. Marshall, you still want to start, and Sims-Walker. Yeah, I could be wrong, but I think he's going to get back into his comfort zone. Second week now with Jacksonville. He was never a stud. He had his moments the last couple of years, but I think he's going to get back.
One more question: should I start Ryan Terrain in place of Peyton Hillis because of injury concerns? In other words, do you think Ryan Terrain's going to be the number one back there, or is he going to be splitting time with Roy Helu? How's that going to work?
I think he's going to be splitting time. I think they're going to split time, but I do think I think both of them are reasonable options. Now, for sure, if it's between Terrain and Hillis, got to go Terrain. But it depends on what some of the other options are. Washington at Buffalo. I think that'll be an opportunity for either one of those two guys to do well. Now they were terrible last week with Hightower's absence. They were both awful. I think they both finished with negative yards, which is pretty tough. So you never know with Mike Shanahan and the Washington offense, which direction they're going to go. But I'd say Terrain and Helu are both startable. I think they're going to have equal. I think they're going to have
which makes it tough for fantasy owners. It's
but
like what we have here in New England a lot of the time.
It's what you have in New England. It's what you have in a lot of teams.
Yeah.
But Hillis is not an option for this week, I think. I don't think Hillis is going to play. So if the only options are Hillis and Terrain, I think Terrain's the guy. Terrain's got to be the guy. So, But good flurry of emails there, Kevin.
Yeah, we still got plenty to come.
And we still got plenty to come. I think we're going to take a break here.
Sounds good.
Take a break here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Coming back with about a half an hour of Fantasy Football Talk. Web radio at Patriots.com is how to reach us. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEAT. Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance to hit a B-low on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398.
Back here on the Fantasy Lowdown for week number 8. It is a Thursday, every Thursday from 4 to 5. You can catch us here on Patriots.com. Usually Pete Shepard is in this spot, and I join him for an hour on Thursdays. Pete is off this week, so I'm here with Kevin Collins today, taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com. Real quick, just getting to the Patriots injury report. This is patriots.com, of course. So the one note that really impacts fantasy football is Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis Once again, limited participation with a toe injury. I don't expect this to affect his availability or performance on Sunday. I don't think anyone does. Just worth noting that he is limited, and the expectation would be that tomorrow his status will be questionable, but certainly it would be a major surprise if Green Ellis is unable to go, or if he really is limited. We may see the Patriots use, you know, Stephen Ridley, Danny Woodhead as well, and this could be a week that Kevin Faulk comes back. He's not on the 53-man roster right now. Faulk, Brace, and Dedrick aren't on the 53-man roster. They're physically unable to perform. That's right, the guy from LSU. You got it. For them to be activated, they would need to be put on the 53-man roster first. And because they're not on the 53-man roster, they wouldn't even be mentioned anyways on the injury report, on the participation report, either way. So we can't really, we don't really know what their status is and how much they participated. But two players did not practice for the Patriots today, Rossi Dowling and Dane Fletcher. And then six players limited, Josh Barrett, Lee Bodden, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Albert Haynesworth, Gerard Mayo, and Sebastian Vollmer. So Mayo, this could be the week that he comes back. It's been 4 weeks since his injury. It was thought to be a 4 to 6 week injury. So, again, he'll probably be listed as questionable. And because the Patriots are the road team this week, we'll have some idea on Saturday what the status is of some players if they do not travel. The Patriots will announce that if any guys do not travel. So that's the injury report on Thursday as the Pats get set to face the Pittsburgh Steelers. Back to the emails, Kevin, we go. What do you got?
We have one from Jake here that needs a little bit of help from the fantasy lowdown here. Hey guys, my name is Jake, and I need some help this week, and I really need a win. And my question is, Brandon Pettigrew or Owen Daniels? Thanks, guys.
You know, two solid tight end options. I'd go with Brandon Pettigrew myself, especially if Matthew Stafford plays. I think he's an up-and-comer. You know, with Owen Daniels, you know, they are playing Jacksonville. That's a pretty good matchup, too, I think, defensively. Although, you know, we did see what Jacksonville's defense did against Baltimore last week. I think that's got to be taken into account. But I would go with Pettigrew. I think he's a stud in the making. He's had some really good outings recently. And, you know, he'll always be second fiddle in that offense to Calvin Johnson. And as long as Andre Johnson is out, you know, Owen Daniels may have a bigger role, but give me Pettigrew. Give me Pettigrew in that.
I feel like you're rolling the dice a little bit with Daniels. Like, you know, if he doesn't catch a touchdown, then it's really not worth. I don't think he gets the targets or the receptions that Pettigrew gets.
No, I think Pettigrew will have better targets. I'd agree. And that running game for Detroit is definitely in flux. So that's what I would do. I would go with Pettigrew.
So dipping back into web radio here, we have one from Mike in New York. Hey, B-Lo, love the show. Can you help me out with an optimal lineup for this week, please, or recommend anything I should do for the future? It's a standard scoring league. His quarterback is Tom Brady.
I'd stick with him.
His wide receiver stable is Anquan Boldin, Wes Welker, Marcus Colston, Brandon Lloyd, or Mike Wallace. Running backs Ray Rice, looks like Steven Jackson, Mike Tolbert.
Yeah, Jackson could be Fred also. So we may need that's a big difference there. We may need a clarification there.
That's true. Mike. Tight end Antonio Gates, Brandon Pettigrew, and he also notes that Hernandez and Vernon Davis are on waivers.
I don't know what kind of league this is.
I know. It's kind
of Aaron Hernandez and Vernon Davis are on waivers.
I want to be in it then.
Yeah.
Four people in the league?
I don't know. Good question.
It's one of those dreaded four-team leagues. And in terms of the bench buy or injured, as he has listed here, it looks like the Jets are on his bench, McFadden's on the buy, and Jahvid Pest is injured. So that's his team.
Yeah, and the Jets on a buy as well, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Jets on a buy. Okay, the only question, obviously the Fred Jackson, Steven Jackson, that's a big question, but it actually doesn't really impact my thoughts on his lineup. The wide receivers, you're really going to go with four wide receivers because he has three starting receivers in one flex spot. You're going to go Welker, Colston, Lloyd, and Wallace. You're starting all four of those. Mike Wallace against the Patriots. That's a great matchup. Lloyd, Colston, Welker. You know, those are your three and then the flex. And then Rice, Jackson, and Tolbert. It's Rice and Jackson, whichever Jackson it is, over Tolbert, is what I'd go with. Now, Gates or Pettigrew. That's a tough one to me. I'm very high on Pettigrew. I guess it's so hard to sit Antonio Gates, though. If Hernandez and Vernon Davis are on waivers, I just question where this league is at.
Yeah.
Because those are two of the top eight tight ends. And unless there's only two or three teams in this league, you know, those two players, Hernandez and Vernon Davis, have to be on someone's roster. No question about that. So there you go, Mike. Give us some first names. Sometimes when you throw a Jackson out there, could be a few different guys.
Could play Name That Jackson.
We could. I don't want to play that game here, though. But
we also have a trade proposal here that just came in. Do you want to take the phone call?
No, we can. Let's go with the trade proposal.
Says thanks for the show. I love it. Well, thank you very much, Dan. And he says, how about this trade? LeGarrette Blount for Vincent Jackson.
Blount for Jackson. All signs point to LeGarrette Blount being available in week 9 after Tampa comes off their bye week and they face New Orleans in that matchup. I would say I'd feel more comfortable with LeGarrette Blount down the stretch than Vincent Jackson. And, you know, I could have seen a scenario where Ernest Graham plays very well for a couple of weeks in LeGarrette Blount's absence and the Buccaneers stay with the hot hand even if Blount is healthy. It's not like Blount has years and years of experience in the league and years of being a top flight running back. He's only got 1 year. So if Ernest Graham was healthy and playing well, I could see them sticking with him. But Ernest Graham is out. He's out for the year. Craig Lumpkin is the next guy in.
Yep.
I think LeGarrette Blount gets right back to his starting role if he's healthy next week. And there's something about Vincent Jackson and the San Diego Chargers passing game that just smells funny. I just don't like. So I would make that trade. I would acquire LeGarrette Blount. I'm not sure which side of it the emailer is on. I would be on the side of acquiring LeGarrette Blount. I like Vincent Jackson, and he'll probably be a decent wide receiver play the rest of the year. But I think LeGarrette Blount, when he's healthy, and all signs point to him being healthy, is going to be the guy.
Sounds good.
Yeah, let's go to the phones.
Ticket hotline.
Let's go to the phones and
waiting for us there. We have Poker Mike.
We do have Poker Mike. Poker Mike, even though Pete is not in the house, you still call in, don't you?
I'm a little late. Fellas, I have to apologize. I literally just turned the show on. I thought I heard last week that, well, because B-Lo, you were away over the weekend getting married, correct?
I was away over the weekend getting married.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, Mike.
And I know Pete's gone for the week, so I didn't think the show was occurring.
I thought
you were both gone. So unless you were handing the reins to Kevin, and I'm sure he could have gotten it done on his own, I didn't know that it was happening.
Oh, no, it happens. One way or the other.
You're getting it done?
Yeah, you know, in 2008, when I was traveling with the team and we spent 2 weeks out in California because of those double back-to-back West Coast games,
right.
We did it by phone. Listen, we make it happen. One way or another, we make it happen here on the Lowdown.
This is vital information, so it's got to get done.
There you go. So we are in the house.
I know we're kind of coming towards the end, but we chatted last week, you know, with the crazy matchups over this past weekend. And we just had, and I'm sure you guys talked about him already, but what an amazing performance by DeMarco Murray of Dallas. I just, you know, what do you do now? Not even really, you know, forget Choice and Felix Jones. Like, these just decisions have to be made with this guy. You know, what a performance.
It was a breathtaking performance. And the most interesting part about it was, you know, you could see a game where a guy has won 90-something yard run and finishes with 130 yards, and you look at the stats, you're like, wow, what a game. But you take away that 90-yard run, and it's maybe 14 carries for 30-something yards, and you're like, ah, well, maybe there was a fluke there. You take away his 90-yard run, and he's still at 150-yard day or 140-yard day or something like that. So it was a special performance for him, and he's, you know, last week at this time, he was on the fantasy football radar. Now he's squarely in the fantasy football spotlight. You got to start him.
Absolutely.
But I feel like there's some buts there because I just think we're primed to see a DeMarco Murray letdown, I think. And I'm not going by the matchup necessarily. They're playing Philly. Hard to say if that's a great matchup or a terrible matchup. It's a decent matchup. You just get the sense that, can DeMarco Murray match that performance? I don't think he's going to have 100 yards rushing. I think it might still be a decent game for him. I think he could still score maybe 80 yards. I'm just not convinced. I'm not sold that DeMarco Murray is going to be a fantasy stud this week.
I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we were in favor of him last week. Pete kind of made a comment about, I don't know, the last drive that he didn't look that good. But, you know, we both had him as starts this week, and, you know, obviously performed above expectations. Not a bad matchup this week, prime time Sunday night, you know, against a Philadelphia team that's kind of suspect, I guess, that defense. I have to agree with you. I'm not saying to, you know, to insert him into your lineup for Arian Foster, but, you know, as a flex position, maybe a number two guy, you know, if he comes back this week and does even half of what he did last week, you got to start to think about starting this guy on a regular basis. But, I mean, I guess we just kind of have to wait and see there. And, you know, Felix Jones back in the mix. I'm not even sure what his status is, but he's obviously, you know, going to kind of hinder his Murray's value, obviously.
Yeah. And believe it or not, I think they like, you know, the next guy in line, Philip Tanner. I don't think Philip Tanner is going to be a guy that you need to worry about in fantasy, but I think he could take some carries away from DeMarco Murray. He had a few carries last week as well. You know, he was, I can't remember how many, but it was not nearly as many as DeMarco Murray, but I think he's a guy, and I remember him in the preseason, I think he's a guy that they like as well. So, you know, Murray, you know, you ride the hot hand, you get him in your lineup. I'm just not convinced that he's going to be a week-in, week-out guy down the stretch this year.
We'll have to wait and see. Let me get to my business.
What's your business?
I've kind of, you know, tackled this, you know, the waiver wire and the hot pickups every week and so forth. Actually, a pretty quiet week this week off the waiver wire. Nobody really, you know, going for big money in my league.
Yeah.
I think the top guy right now, obviously, with this Hightower injury, Helu was a big pickup. He wasn't owned in my league.
And he should be.
And he should be, absolutely. Still think Terrain, actually looking at Terrain to have a pretty good week this week. I'm still not sold on this guy. But with between him and Helu, the quarterback situation in Washington is obviously completely just suspect.
Yeah.
But not a horrible matchup. They're in Buffalo, but you have to wait and see. Other than that, the only pickup that kind of jumped out to me was Michael Jenkins. Jenkins went for pretty big money in my league this week, Brian.
Really? Yeah, I wouldn't have gone too deep for Michael Jenkins. Early in the season, there was a week where he had, I think he led the team in targets, and I was kind of high on him. Thought he'd be a really good sleeper candidate, and then he kind of faded along with, you know, really that whole offense. Yeah, I'm not sold on Michael Jenkins. I think you have to go get in a pretty deep league to feel comfortable about Michael Jenkins or get him in your starting lineup. You know, worth taking a shot on because, you know, I think Christian Ponder, you know, he's a rookie. It's just going to be his second start, but, you know, I think he's throwing the ball. I don't think they're going to be afraid to put the ball in his hands, have him throw the ball, and Michael Jenkins, you know, could be one of the top few targets. So I don't know that I'd endorse going big money for him. But he's an intriguing guy, I suppose.
They got an actually tougher matchup this week with Carolina. So,
yeah.
I did not put a bid in on him, but he was really the only other guy.
Yeah. Well, I'd say, and here's another guy that hasn't been mentioned yet on this show, is Maurice Morris. I think that, you know, if we're Detroit, Javid Best, not going to play. Detroit against Denver. I like the overall matchup for Detroit's offense. You know, Denver's D has had some okay moments. But last week was against Miami. I don't take too much stock in that. I think Maurice Morris and also Keelan Williams.
You tore the words out. I was waiting for you to take a breath. Both of those guys, I think, bro.
Right. It's sort of like the Washington situation where you can't be too sure about either one. I do feel more comfortable saying that Maurice Morris will get more carries in Detroit than I could say about either guy in Washington. I think there'll be a closer split with the Washington guys, in my opinion, than there will be in Detroit. But it's not to say it's going to be 25 carries and two. I think it might be more like 15 and eight, that kind of thing with
right.
the Detroit guys.
Yep.
So Maurice Morris is definitely on my radar for this week.
I'm with you, and especially if Best winds up, you know, being out longer than expected. You know, this is a guy, he's been in the league 10 years, you know, really, really has just kind of taken on that backup role, has had some starts here and there, but, you know, he's definitely serviceable right now in a team that's just, they're putting up points.
Yeah.
You know, you got Calvin Johnson stretching the field, a pretty good offensive line, and I think both of those, like you said, those running backs can both be productive.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to wait and see, you know, the matchups this week. I just thought we had some juicier matchups last week.
Yeah, And I agree with you that there this wasn't a week where there were guys on the waiver wire that you had to go absolutely crazy for. There are some good options, I think, on a lot of waiver wires because of how much flux there is at running back this week. There's a lot of teams that have running back conundrums. The actual NFL teams that have running back conundrums.
Right.
But the fact is, you know, the backup NFL running backs are worth having on your team for situations like this. It's hard to predict which week it will be that running back X, Y, or Z gets hurt and you need that guy's backup. But it's worth having some of these guys on hand. I mean, probably not a lot of people had Alphonso Smith on their rosters before this week.
Right.
But you got to have Alphonso Smith needs to be on rosters right now. If you don't use him this week, that's one thing. But, you know, next week, Arizona plays St. Louis. And if Beanie Wells misses one or two games, you want to have Alphonso Smith ready to go. So having backup NFL running backs is just smart business if you have the spot. I think it's worth sacrificing your second defense to have running back reinforcements. I really do. I mean, go week to week on defense if you need to and have some of these backup running backs on hand.
I agree with you. You hate to be in that position where you're – I mean, ideally, in any fantasy sport, but fantasy football especially, you want to have that top to bottom solid lineup. You don't have to make those decisions every week. You're not really playing the matchups, but it's been crazy this year. You know, with these, I was sitting watching these games actually by myself on Sunday, and I said out loud, "I can't believe these injuries. Everybody is getting hurt."
Yeah.
Because you can't really understand why it's happening, but you're absolutely right. These are you there, Brian?
Oh yeah, we're here.
Sorry. These backup running backs are becoming valuable.
Yep.
What about in Seattle this week with Cincinnati? You got Bernard Scott who's getting the start in a pretty good matchup. Did you want to waste a roster spot on this guy for 1 week? But, you know, he could wind up being a serviceable running back in a pretty good matchup this week.
Right. I think depending on the situation on your own roster, yes, I think he is worth having this week against Seattle. And I also think a guy like Bernard Scott, if he has a huge week this week and Cedric Benson comes back, yeah, most likely Benson just gets his carries back. But, you know, some teams like to ride that hot hand, and Bernard Scott, you know, could have a big game and that hot hand could be written. So
I'm going to close you out with the lock of the week here, and I've been laughed at, I've been made fun of, but I'm sticking to it, and it's happening this week. Mark my words, CJ2K is getting it done. In week 8, yep. Indianapolis, I don't care what they say, if this guy does not have a good week this week,
right.
Brian, I may just hang up the gloves altogether.
Well, that's what I'd say. If he can't get it done against the Colts, and the Colts have the worst defense, the second worst rush defense in the league, if he can't get it done this week, he
at
can't
home,
at all. And
I
said
it. Give us a break.
And I said at the beginning of the show, Matt Hasselbeck is a great sleeper quarterback candidate this week. But there also could come a point in that game where they're up big and they give Chris Johnson the ball. This is the week. If he can't get it done now, he's probably not getting it done. So,
Mike, lock it up. Gotta happen.
Hey, thank you very much as always for the call. A lot of good insight there. We're going to try to bang out a few more emails, and we'll talk to you again next week, Mike.
All right, good luck this week, and
all
we'll talk to you next week.
You too. All right, that was Poker Mike. Next up, we've got a handful of emails.
Yeah,
Why don't we roll through these in the final minutes of the fantasy lowdown?
Leading into what we just talked about here, we have John from Boston. Says, "Hey, guys, I recently acquired Chris Johnson in fantasy. Parentheses, don't worry, I got him for almost nothing. But I want to know what you guys think and if he's worth a start or not this week."
He is absolutely worth a start this week. I've said many times I'm more conservative with my first round guys that I, you know, guys that come into the season as absolute locks. When they're healthy, I probably stay with them longer than maybe I should. But this week, Chris Johnson. If you start Chris Johnson and he doesn't perform this week, you can still hold your head up high, but then you bench him. Then you bench him
and
next week
and
against.
And I want to know if he got Chris Johnson for next to nothing. I still want to know what league these guys are in.
Yeah, well, you know, Chris Johnson is, Chris Johnson for next to nothing. Yeah, I'd take him.
It's a good deal.
I mean, people are very low on Chris Johnson. He's a great buy low candidate.
And now we'll close the show out here with a couple of questions from Samuel, in California, who has a couple of stardom questions. Who should I start, Fred Davis or Rob Gronkowski?
It's Gronkowski, but it's close. I'm high on both guys. I just think Gronkowski, with what he did against Pittsburgh last year, similar defense they're going against. The Patriots obviously found some ways to exploit him. And on the one hand, I might say, well, yeah, won't Dick LeBeau and the Steelers defense find a way to, you know, stop him this time? They have the film on him last year. Well, a lot of other teams haven't been able to do that either. I think Gronkowski has a huge week. Davis is fine, too. But if you have both those guys, it's Gronkowski.
His next matchup here is Jackie Battle against the law firm.
Yeah, I'd go Battle. I'd go Battle. Although Green Ellis, last year, the Patriots faced Pittsburgh in week, I think it was 10, so a couple weeks later than this, Pittsburgh had the best run defense in the league at that time. And Green Ellis didn't score, but he had about 90 yards, and they really were able to move the ball pretty well. But I just think there's more players in the mix for the Patriots at running back. Jackie Battle should be the guy for Kansas City.
I'm down on a personal B-low on Green Ellis this week. I have him in both my leagues, and unfortunately I'm going to have to play him due to bye weeks and lack of not having better options. But this turf toe is lingering, and that's one of the factors I'm taking into account. But the other one is, in my prediction of this game on Sunday, I think the Patriots are going to air it out. I don't think he's going to get a lot of work.
No, yeah, I would say that they'll air it out more than they'll run it. But don't forget, Green Ellis is, a week or two ago, he had the most touchdowns in the NFL since the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
And it might still be the case. So keep that in mind with Green Ellis, but I'd probably go Jackie Battle.
All right, last one here. He has to pick two of these three quarterbacks, Michael Vick, Tom Brady, or Eli Manning?
Well, it's Vic and Brady. But Eli Manning, who I'm not very high on in general, they're facing Miami. It could be a good matchup for him. You can't sit Vic or Brady, though. It's Vic and Brady. I mean, listen, Brady, for sure. There's no questions there. It's really between Vic and Manning, but I go Vic.
And that was Samuel in California, and thanks, Samuel, for writing in, and that'll just about do it here for the Fantasy Lowdown.
Well, a fast-moving hour. We got a lot of emails. We covered a lot of ground, and you know, I think we hit on a lot of the possible waiver wire guys from this week, and I think there's a lot of them. And this is what I said to Mike, and I'll just close it with this.
Yep.
Backup NFL running backs are extremely valuable. If they're a backup running back to a clear-cut starter and you have room on your roster, you might not have room on your roster, but if you have room on your roster, it's good business to have backup NFL running backs. No questions about it. Hey, Kevin, thank you very much.
Quite welcome.
It was good having you in here. I guess we'll invite Pete back next week.
It was fun to be back in the saddle with you.
Well, we'll get Pete back in here next week, and we'll be back at it 4 to 5 next Thursday. Our thanks to Matt. I will say his last name. It's LePan. I got hit hard for not saying it last time. Matt LePan. Or is it Lappin?
He'll eat you.
LePan. You're one of the few that gets it right.
Matt LePan. I like it. All right, LePan. All right, Collins. Great work. We'll see you next time on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Good luck.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Your business.